You're listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Charlie Polillo.
Well, it certainly isn't existential by any means, but if the Beatles came along today, would they call this song Internet Rider? Ben Rider. Darn near becoming the poet laureate of long-form Astros writing. The seer of the 2017 World Series title 3 years ahead of time. The Astro Ball book post-World Series title last year. We last had Ben on the program outset of the season. Tremendous profile on Alex Bregman. No doubt thus inspired to have his MVP-level season. And SI, fresh out now. You can find it online at SI.com. But, you know, hard copy magazines still do exist. The cover, October Best, with Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole sharing it. Ben's article going deep, all kinds of texture to it, going back to the Zach Greinke edition, fortifying an Astros rotation, which has a 1-2-3 punch going into the postseason, stands with the best of all time. So, Ben, Charlie here in the studio, appreciate the time, as always, when you pop on. First thing I was curious about with this article, which is just a compelling read for any baseball fan, much less an Astro fan, when did you decide, you know, the trade's a couple of months ago now, but that build toward the postseason, obviously it's not a breaking news story. It's all about the level of detail and then obviously being positioned here as we start the postseason. When did you do the nuts and bolts putting together of and writing of the article?
Well, I mean, I guess the good news, Charlie, is that the Astros so far seem to be unjinxable as far as the SI jinx. Obviously, our original story in 2014 ended up coming true. The Alex Bregman story, as you mentioned, he is challenging for an MVP. So that one's probably not in play here. As far as when I decided to do the story, look, I was fascinated, of course, like everybody else, that Jeff Luhnow had pulled this thing off again, right? Again, when the news broke after the deadline, kind of as it had with the Justin Verlander trade, he pulled off this last-minute coup coming in at the very end of the deadline season with the biggest, most important, most impactful trade. So at the time, this would be in late July, I was curious to dig into exactly how he had done it, what it says about the Astros organization, where it is now in 2019, and what it might do for them going forward. So kind of started poking around, but really as the postseason approached, and you look back at the season, what was the big maybe inflection point that might have boosted the Astros, into a position of being the clear favorites, or at least as much a favorite as a baseball team can be
right
in the postseason? That seemed to me the story that had to be told and hadn't quite been told yet.
Well, we're not going to peel all the layers of the story because, hey, that's why the story is there to read. But I did want to ask you to speak a little bit to one element, Astros owner Jim Crane, who's rapidly moving towards sports hero level here in terms of the level of expenditure, the team results. They could not have walked the walk of the plan that they talked any more straightly than they have to this point. But specifically on this deal, Jim Crane, college baseball player, not just a rich owner, and he's engaged on the baseball side. Jeff Luhnow's the ultimate shot caller on the baseball side. But Crane specific, getting down to nitty-gritty time on the Greinke deal. I thought this was fascinating.
Right. I think you're right. Jim Crane has in many ways proven to be an ideal sports owner. He's done exactly what he said. He has ramped up the payroll, as he always promised he would do, to the point where they're now flirting with the luxury tax threshold. They've added so much in salary over the past 5 or 6 years. He's patient. He's believed in the process all the way through. He's not an interfering owner at all. This isn't Jerry Jones by any means. But he does drop in now and then to give his blessing to things, even to give Luhnow a little nudge. For instance, the day before the trade deadline this year, it seemed like nothing was going to happen, right? It seemed like the Astros were not going to make any big acquisition. The costs were too high. The sacrifices for the future would be too great. Marcus Stroman had already been traded to the Mets. Trevor Bauer had already been traded to the Reds. They're kind of sitting there, kind of becoming resigned to the fact they're not going to do anything in the front office. Jim Crane comes in. It's kind of like, what about Zach Greinke, right? Like planting the seed. And Jeff Luhnow and his executives are saying, well, yeah, we love Zach Greinke, of course, but he's one of the highest paid players in the game. Can we, meaning you, Jim, afford Zach Greinke? And Crane said, yes, if you can get the players right, we can afford him. The next day, they were struggling as far as assembling the right group of players. They didn't want to give up all four of the prospects the Diamondbacks requested. Again, Jim Crane checked in on Greinke, and again, he kind of nudged Luhnow that, you know what, I believe in your process, I believe in your judgment, but when you have a chance like this, maybe it's worth stretching a little bit as far as your prospect. So he really did nudge the room towards making this deal in a way that wasn't interfering, but more encouraging. And he's a big reason why the Astros now have this incredible rotation.
Well, one World Series won, as we talk with Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated senior writer, and the cover story, Astro-centric, Verlander and Cole the cover. But the deep dive on the Greinke deal, really the guts of the article. So they won one World Series. The Red Sox were just awesome last year and took them out. But here the Astros are as the favorite, which doesn't mean they're even 50-50 to win it. But they're certainly in the thick of it. Verlander and Greinke signed for two more years. We see on Gerrit Cole how far can they go with the budget. They could wheel and trade Greinke for all we know if Cole says, okay, I'll come and stay here. But you know, there have to be limits at some point, or maybe not for legacy, and you sacrifice profits. Ah, you make it all back when you sell the team years from now. Who knows on that stuff, Ben? But I'm curious, in this era, and I may have asked you this in a visit in the past, how would you define a Major League Baseball dynasty and how close to the Astros are it for what you can reasonably achieve given the structure of the postseason this day and age?
I think they're getting pretty close, and I know what you mean. We're not ever going to see a team win like 3, 4, 5 in a row. So the question is, hey, were the Giants, the San Francisco Giants of earlier this decade, kind of a dynasty winning every other year for a while? Sort of. I think they were approaching one. But I think the way you define a dynasty is a club that consistently contends, consistently maybe wins their division, gets into the postseason, gets into that coin toss competition, as a lot of people define it. I think the Astros are approaching that. One of my favorite stats about this whole run is, as I write in my book, Astroball, between 2011 and 2013, they had the worst three-year stretch for any team in 50 years, right, since the expansion New York Mets. Over the past three seasons, they've won 311 games. It is the best three-year stretch during the regular season in 50 years now, since 1969-1971 Baltimore Orioles. That consistent success with no signs of it letting down in the future, no matter what happens with Gerrit Cole, they're certainly approaching that sort of status where you can start talking about, you know, is this baseball's version of a dynasty?
Talking about pitching fraternal twins this year, Verlander and Cole. I actually think this might be the one time ever it truly would be warranted if it comes in 15 first place votes for one, 15 first place for the other, and they split it. But on a ballot, 1-2, how would you fill it out? I don't even know if it's a 51-49 gap between them, 50.1 to 49.9, but who would get your Cy Young vote, American League, Ben?
You know, it's incredibly hard to differentiate them. Verlander actually told me the other day that after Cole's final start of the regular season against the Angels, he came up to him in the clubhouse, and Verlander was basically like, bro, I think we should just split this thing. I wish we could. It's hard for that to happen in baseball. The voting has to turn out that way. It probably won't. I don't have a vote in this category. Man, it is impossible. I don't know if you flip a coin. I suppose maybe I'd give a slight edge to Verlander just because he worked more innings, his strength of schedule was a little tougher, but this is a real conundrum. There's no right answer. If there was a way for the voters to almost like collude and figure out a way such that the final tabulations would be split, that would be the best result.
Let's go to MVP. I mean, we could just call them player X and player Y. In this case, they're players Bregman and Trout, whether as a matter of philosophically, where would you go there? Trout, depending on your war formula, actually Bregman nudged him out and won. But the consensus, still best player in the game, did miss the last 3 weeks of the season, 28 games missed overall to Bregman's 6 or 7. Two peas in an excellence pod there, but who would be atop your MVP ballot?
Another incredibly tough one to decide. I would say until about a week ago, nothing against Alex Bregman, I was in the Trout camp just because his season had been so overwhelming, even with his injury. I just think Bregman's push through the last week, passing him in a lot of the advanced metrics that you look at, like WAR and all sorts of things. I think for me, it would actually tip the vote to Bregman. The fact that he played a whole season and Trout missed the last three seasons, probably would have changed my vote. It has nothing to do, from my perspective, with the fact that Bregman's on a winning team and Trout is not. I look at it purely for individual player value, and I think the overall scope of work from opening day till now probably points toward Bregman.
Evolution of the electorate and criteria through the years. What's your guess as to how each vote turns out, MVP and Cy Young?
Man, it's tough. Obviously, if we were voting a few years ago, or if the voters were voting a few years ago, Bregman would be the winner because he's on the winning team, because by traditional stats, he's ahead of Trout in a lot of ways. I think it's going to be incredibly close. My guess would be there's still enough old school voters that Bregman will tip Trout. But again, on this one, I don't think there's a right answer. I can't yell and shout for either of these candidates. You know, if we had a split AL MVP and a split AL Cy Young, I'm not being wishy-washy at all. That's just how close it is. That might be a good result.
Concur. And as we wrap it up with Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated, again, the cover story this week, also online at SI.com. You were Astros to make it 2 out of 3 at the start of the season. Obviously, there's no reason to deter from that now. I guess what would be your level of confidence in the pick? And as a matter of mathematical reality, would you go the field over the Astros in the American League?
You know, I know for a fact that the Astros internally look at all sorts of predictive metrics as far as what their realistic chances are to win a World Series. And that means you have to get through 3 very good teams over small sample size series. If you look at websites like FanGraphs, their percentage chance of winning the World Series is about 33%. So 1 in 3 chance, which sounds low, but it's twice as high as any other team, including the Yankees and the Dodgers. I think that's about right. I think if you want to set your expectations realistically going into this month, you think that the Astros might have a 1 in 3 chance of coming away with the title. But I think the ride will be extremely entertaining, no matter what the result is.
Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated. He's mastered the long form on Astros writing, and it'll be his career epitaph. He called the Astros win in 2017, 3 years ahead of time. Ben, as always, very appreciative of your time, and who knows when we'll next tap into you. Thank you again.
Thanks, Charlie.
Ben Ryder, Sports Illustrated.